So there are two things here I would like to do this morning. One, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about what's going on in my life, and I do deeply appreciate your prayers for me. This is my fourth year in Ecuador, and I have to tell you, this is the one time a year I get the opportunity of remembering the Lord like we did last hour. I go to a wonderful church in Quito called English Fellowship Church, but it is, they don't celebrate the Lord's Supper like we do here. And so I deeply miss that. I deeply miss my friends. You know, very, very much miss all of you. And I do appreciate those who post on Facebook so I can keep up with things. What does that mean? If not in my shirt? I said, technology. And Kevin has always been my electronic conscience. Whew. Let's close in prayer. I miss my family too. You know, obviously what I do in the summer times is basically I make the rounds of all the kids and grandkids. So I start here in St. Louis this year, go to Orlando, then to Charlotte, then to Dallas, then to Colorado Springs. I think it's a conspiracy with my kids that they won't all live in the same city. And so I have two of them that live here, and all the rest are spread around. Hopefully I'll be in Charlotte sometime, you know, around when my 20th grandchild will be born, because the only one who's still making grandchildren is Joy and Josh, and all the rest have said, no mas, that's more Spanish, and so number 20, but I don't, those of you keep up on Joy, their house has actually been taken over by a Hollywood movie company, and so they've been out for a couple months while they have been shooting this film in there, and you probably know the actor, the lead actor and lead actress, but I don't. All I know is the guy who played Sandman and Spider-Man, you know, whatever. And so they've been living in a rental house, but they've been making $2,000 a week, you know, having their house used, okay? Which is a good thing, right? Hi, who all's awake out there? Okay, so anyway, but then I get to go out, see my son in Dallas and my daughter out in Colorado Springs. So for those of you who know me, know what I've been doing for 4 years, and I'm down at the Alliance Academy in Quito, Ecuador. It is very different from the school that Kevin and Cindy knows and Nathan and Paula knew, okay? Back then it was a missionary kids school, and they had a large boarding program, many dorms. And things have changed. You know, the mission paradigm has changed, and things in Quito have changed. So many missions have pulled out because they've trained, you know, the indigenous people to do the work. So there are not a lot of missions as much anymore in Ecuador, even though there was a large presence ever since the five missionaries were killed back in the 1950s. And as a result, you know, with missions pulling out, then the missions kids are pulling out. So we only have one dorm left, and that is not even full. We had 7 students this last year. I forgot to tell you, there are 2 Kofan that are also in the dorm. They're from one of the indigenous tribes in the jungle of Ecuador. And so the school now still has, you know, 580-something students, K through 12, but it is now mostly Ecuadorian. The largest population in the school is Ecuadorian. And second largest population is U.S., and third largest population is Korean. But we have 31 different countries represented, and one you'll see in our slides here in a few minutes. But in the process, you know, I've gotten involved in this, and people have asked me, well, how long are you going to stay there? When are you going to come back home? Sorry, folks. Home is now Ecuador, okay? I feel very much home there. This is my home church, and my family's here, but I have fallen in love with this school. I have fallen mostly in love with the students, these high school kids. You know, they haven't made me young, but I feel younger, okay? And so my intent on coming back is one of three conditions. One condition is that I know Harry Ironside used to pray, God keep me from becoming a foolish old man. And there are times when people, you know, they say, I wish he would have retired last year. Okay? So I don't want to be in that position. Hopefully I'll be sensitive enough, or somebody will be bold enough to say, Rick, this ought to be your last year. So when that happens, okay, then I'll come back and I'll bother you. And but I am the old man on campus. I am the oldest one on our campus by far. I come here and I'm not the oldest. Isn't that wonderful? Second condition would be if my health gives out, you know, so that if, you know, I can't crawl to my office, you know, then I probably will come back. The third condition would be, you know, if something were to happen back here with my kids or grandkids where me being here would be helpful and instrumental, then I would come back for that reason. Other than that, you know, I don't plan on dying in the classroom, but, you know, I am having more fun as a retiree and serving the school in Ecuador than I've ever had for a lot of years. It's just been an absolute blast, and I do appreciate your prayers. So what do I do here? So now, more technology. Do I have to turn this thing on? So if I just push the arrow button to the side, okay. So my primary job is I'm the dean of students. And what does that mean? Well, that means I have an office, and this is my office. It's a nice, narrow little thing. This was actually taken early on in the year, and I have lined it up with flags from the various countries that we have in our school, and I get the kids to sign them, okay? So they sign these flags. And so I serve the three C's, okay? All healthy: coffee, cookies, and candy, okay? And that's the only way I can get them to come into the Dean of Students' office. When you're the chief disciplinarian, that's what you get to do. But anyway, it's very popular. I serve curried coffee, and it flies out of there. Just absolutely flies. You know, chai latte, hot chocolate, just flies out of there. But anyway, that's my office, okay? And, oh, wow, that didn't get very large. So what does a dean of students do? He works with students who need to make better decisions, either academically or behaviorally. And so I get the opportunity to work with kids that make a lot of poor decisions. I had about 14% of the high school on probation this last year. And so working with kids, and I absolutely love it. I love the opportunity to work with the Lord, with kids, trying to help them make better decisions. It doesn't always work, but we had, you know, some just fantastic success stories that just graduated this year. And just, I would love to tell you about it, but we only have till 12:15. And I know they will pull the plug here. Okay, I also involved with STUCO, Student Council, okay? And so we, beginning of the year, we had, that's not it. That is it. Okay, we had a retreat. And so we went to visit an orphanage. You don't hear about orphanages in this country as much anymore, but you go to other countries, like third world countries, orphanages are a big deal for all kinds of reasons. And so one of our faculty, they own and operate an orphanage on the outskirts of Quito. And so we went there, we had a retreat, but we also ministered to the kids in that orphanage. Then we had a man up retreat where we took a group of the guys and we did silly things like, you know, leg wrestling, but then we had, you know, campfires and things like that. I was also a sponsor of the senior class. I got so worn out with that, I will not do that again, okay? It is a lot of work from having lock-ins. You know, one thing you never want to do in a lock-in, if you're a sponsor, is to fall asleep. For a variety of reasons. One of them is the magic marker issue, okay? And, you know, so I did not sleep. And we had two of those. And they did all kinds of things. They loved to dance. The bottom right-hand picture there is where they were dancing out there and things like that. Of course, we don't allow dancing in our school, but they were dancing. And I guess the dean of students missed up on that one. So we also painted their lockers. And that bar, that big white bar going through the middle, that's a loading bar. So each year, after every term, we would fill in part of that bar all the way up until they were all loaded. Now, that is supposedly art on the lockers. I wouldn't call it that, but that's what they called it. So anyway, the class of 2014. They also had a fun day, and we did all kinds of things there. If you notice the top middle picture, you may recognize one of those guys there. That was back when I had a head of black hair, okay? But kids from all the neighborhood, the school, and all the rest would come on this fun day. We sponsored that. Then we had a senior service day where we had this large soccer field. Now, up here, you play baseball. You play football. And some of you think the greatest sporting event in the world is Super Bowl. It's not. Greatest sporting event in the world is World Cup. Did you hear that? World Cup. They play what? Soccer, okay? Of course, they call it football, and it truly is football. You know, American football, who kicks it? You know, one guy or two guys, and that's it. Down there, everybody, hundreds of millions of people are watching this. Championship is when? Between? Not the Netherlands. Germany and Argentina, right, okay. But so we have this large soccer field. We played lots and lots of soccer there. And the senior class had a service day. We painted the walls inside and out. And you notice the colors on the bottom right-hand side there? That is not the German flag. That's the colors of our school, red, black, and gold. But it looks like the German flag. Now, you may get the idea that these kids were not just painting the wall. They were painting each other. Okay, if you can see that picture, I know it's kind of far away. They got a lot of paint on each other. But we got the walls done. So that was senior service day. It was a great, fun day with the kids, okay? And there's the senior class. There were, you know, 52 of them that graduated. They had six friends, came back. So we had 58 students walk the aisle on June 30th. 200 school days in Ecuador. Not cool. Okay, and there's the class of 2014 and all their hoodies or chompas, okay, in the gym, okay? I also work in the dorm, okay? In the dorm, I'm the grandpa. And so we did it one trip. We hiked up to the refuge at Cotopaxi. Kevin, you ever do that? Never went to the refuge in Cotopaxi? Nathan, you here? Well, it's a little over 16,000 feet, which is higher than anything in the lower 48 states, okay? The only thing higher in the United States is Mount McKinley, okay? And so, anyway, we did that, and you can see a picture on the bottom right there of looking up toward Cotopaxi, and then pictures of the kids that we had in the dorm, okay? I also was in charge of the National Honor Society, and, you know, we have higher standards there. We have to have a 3.5 to be in the National Honor Society at the Alliance Academy, so this was our induction ceremony for six students this year, okay? And then one of our teachers left early after about two-thirds of the way through the year, so I ended up teaching business and consumer math. So one of the things I did, I said, okay, we'll play a market watch game, okay? This is virtual. I'm glad this was Monopoly money and not real money because I showed them how not to do it. You probably can't see it, but I'm number 13 out of 13. All the students were ahead of me, including one student who wasn't even in my class. They made money. I lost $70,000. So if you want to know how not to invest in the stock market, come see me anytime. I will give you free advice, okay? So that's some of what I did this last year. This next year, Christian Service Outreach, actually a Sunday school at English Fellowship Church, okay? And I was on the administration team, and miscellaneous. I went with the kids down to Guayaquil, which is a coastal city, for a soccer and basketball tournament. And some of you may or may not know the Bormans, but Steve, two of their children go to Emmaus Bible College, okay? They're missionaries down there, and they work with the Kofan in the jungle, okay? Wonderful family, neat family, okay? And here is a story I would like to spend the rest of the day, but we're not going to. that young lady in the middle, Ghazal Salehi, she came here to Ecuador from Iran. She and her parent, her mom, were refugees, political refugees from Iran, because her mom spoke up for women's rights. And you understand that is not a popular subject in Iran. And so she came, she was went to another school for a couple years in Quito. The school closed down. The Alliance Academy was recommended to her, so she came over for her senior year. And so we started talking to her, say, well, Ghazal, where are you in relationship to God? She says, well, I'm still searching. And he said, okay, as long as you search honestly, we know where you'll end up. And so a number of the faculty, and I was one of them, had the opportunity of ministering to this young woman. And in the process, she came to faith in Christ. Absolutely. And they found out they were, you know, they appealed to Ecuador to be, you know, have refugee status there. Ecuador said no because Ecuador is still friends with Iran. So they couldn't insult Iran. They appealed to the United States. The United States says no, okay? So they appealed to the Netherlands, and the Netherlands said yes. So they were going to move to the Netherlands. But in the process, you know, she graduated early. We gave her her own graduation. And then shortly before she left, she said, you know what? I want to be baptized, okay? And so we had the opportunity. Dave Saavedra is the guy, and Ann Coe, you know, two of the faculty that have built into her life. And they had the opportunity of baptizing her in English Fellowship Church. But one of our biggest concerns was, okay, she's going to the Netherlands. Who's going to follow up with her? So it just so happened on that Sunday, there was a young lady that was going to go to the Vineyard Church down there in Quito, but her transportation didn't work out, so she ended up going at the last minute to English Fellowship Church. Guess where she was from? The Netherlands. So I'm just going to calm down here a little bit. You know, that, wow, what a God thing. And she's over there now, found Christian fellowship, and is doing so, so well, this young girl from Iran. Ghazal Salehi. If you want to pray for her, she's worth praying for, okay? Then I came back in October to watch one of my grandsons play football. Those pink shirts. Have you ever seen a football team play with pink shirts before? Well, this was Susan B. Komen Breast Cancer Awareness Day, so they're wearing pink shirts. So I was there, and two of my daughters flew up there to be with my daughter Dawn. So Joy and Tears were there as well, and their families. And so we watched him play football. He only lost 42-0, but it was a good game, okay? Then I came back up for their graduation in May. Of course, in the United States, you only have 180 days of school. Ecuador, we have 200. So I came back up for their graduation. So Alex on the left and Austin on the right, okay? And of course, they're cool dudes, okay? And anyway, enjoyed being there for their graduation. So next year, what do? I will no longer be a class sponsor, so I thought I was going to have all kinds of extra time. Now going to be in charge of giving the SAT and ACT tests down there. I am now going to teach 3 classes of New Testament survey. I wasn't going to have any classes, so I'll have 60 students. Dean of Students, which is a full-time job all by itself, National Honor Society, administrative team, dorm grandpa, CSO. Anybody want to come help? Okay, so that's that. Okay. So, we got 25 minutes left. Or is that an hour 25 minutes? As a man gets older, have you women noticed this? They kind of get stuck in their ways. Have you ever noticed that, ladies? They get stuck in their ways. It's so easy to keep doing the same old thing, the same old way, until Jesus comes, right? Like, when you go to a restaurant and you found something that you like, what do? You order it again. And the next time you go back, you order it again. I go to McDonald's whenever I can for breakfast. I know it's not healthy, but I get sausage McMuffin with egg. They don't have it in Ecuador. That's all I get. Sausage McMuffin with egg. Guess what I had this morning driving down here? It's not hard to guess. Sausage McMuffin with egg. When you drive to work, you drive the same pathway. You keep on doing that. When you go downstairs to have fellowship, who do you talk to? Same people you talked to last Sunday, that you talked to the Sunday before, that you talked to before. When you get up in the morning, what do you wear? Okay? And how do you put them on? The same old way. One leg at a time, right? Okay? But we get into these patterns. Even when you take a shower, what you scrub first, you do it the same old way, okay? Or how you brush your teeth, you go to the left side or the right side. Same old way, okay? Good or bad, you keep doing it the same way because it's a time-honored habit. It takes less mental energy. You don't have to think about it. It's more efficient because I've got it down pat. Even when you throw your towel on the rack, you know, you throw it the same way, okay? Now, I say this because I do it, okay? Comfort zones. They are so nice, aren't they? It's a well-named description of so much of our lives. We like to live in our comfort zone. You know one of the things I found out in Ecuador? What I really, really miss is comfort foods, okay? The foods that you like to sit down in front of the TV and munch on and eat, guess what? They don't have them. Or if they have them, they're very expensive. I had a student who loved Mountain Dew. They didn't have Mountain Dew in Ecuador. Until one day somebody brought down a bottle of Mountain Dew, and he was a very noisy kid in study hall. So I told him, I said, I put it out on, you know, the table in front of him. I said, okay, if you're quiet for 1 week, you can have the Mountain Dew, okay? And you get to see him. For a week, my study hall was quiet, okay? He got his Mountain Dew. But now they have Mountain Dew, but it costs five times as much, okay? Comfort zones, they're safe. They're predictable. But I'm going to do something today. Rather than giving a nice exegetical sermon, I'm going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone. I'm going to ask you to find something that will challenge you deeply. I'm going to ask you to take a risk. Even if you've taken a risk before, I'm going to ask you to do it again. There are a lot of ways of taking risks, but one of the riskiest things you can do in life is to love another person. You think, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Okay? It's risky. You never know how it's going to come out. Risking by loving another person. I'm going to ask you to do that, okay? I'm going to ask you to take a risk. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of that safety net that you're in. And take the risk of loving somebody else. So Matthew chapter 5, Jesus kind of talks about this in Matthew chapter 5, and you know this passage well, but let me read it. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 43, okay? Jesus says this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same unless they delete the email?" I keep up on some of the stuff happening back here, okay? "If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Love your neighbors. That's your comfort zone. Love your enemies. That's the risk. So instead of using the word enemies today, I'm going to say love those who aren't your neighbors. That's the risk. It seems like when we were younger, we'd take more risks. Oh, I don't know. I went to Locarno, Switzerland with my friend Ken Blankenship and walked up on a dam, and it's called the 007 GoldenEye bungee jump, 754 feet, and I was 62 years of age at the time, I think, and I did it. Was that risky? I hope not, but it sure felt like it. I'm here, so I made it. But most of the time we take risks when we're younger, and you can watch all kinds of YouTube videos, you know, whether it's skateboarding, skiing, whatever it might be, you know, jumps into pools, you know, all different, takes these risks. You watch videos of kids at college and dorm, all kinds of risks. When they drive cars, like my grandson decided to borrow a car when we were up there for graduation. He doesn't have a license. And so he went driving, trying to buy something from the store, and a deer comes in front of him, and he swerves, and he went airborne, rolled the car. Fun night. Gladly he was not hurt, but he took not a safe, good risk or anything like that. But when we're younger, we seem to take more risks. It's kind of exciting. Just watched 58 seniors leave the AAI and go all different kinds of places. Korea, China, Europe, Germany, Belgium, United States, Canada. One of them is going to be an au pair. I don't know if I said that correct. Au pair. In France or something like that. Taking risks. Some here in this assembly have taken risks by marrying somebody this year. Okay? Good thing? Bad thing? Hopefully a good thing, right? But it's risky. Or a job. Finding a job. Or finding a ministry. Why do we stop taking risks? Because sometimes you get burnt, right? You get hurt. You take a risk and you try to ride the rail on your skateboard and ouch, or worse. But sometimes we don't take risks in loving people because people can hurt us. People can talk bad about us. I found out a little bit about the underbelly of the missions community in Ecuador. You can get hurt. Or you don't take risks because you don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know the future. You can't figure it out. It's uncertain. Or we're around people who discourage us. Ah, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be with them. Don't, you know. So they discourage us from taking risks. So it's easy for us as we grow older to settle into a pattern, a routine, into a comfort zone. It's common. It's understandable. Sometimes, though, God knocks us out of our comfort zone by the circumstances of life or by the choices of others. How many have seen the movie Soul Surfer? 1, 2, 3, 4. Young woman, surfboarding, and what happened? Shark came and took her arm. Okay? Circumstances of life. How do you respond to that? Well, she responded fabulously. The Ministry of the Interior in Ecuador brought Bethany Hamilton down to Quito, Ecuador, to give her story, because it didn't defeat her. Hear what happened, and she took a risk, and she became a champion surfboarder even after that, because she took the risk. She went out and did it. Dear friends of many of us here, Dave and Vicki Cosney, their daughter was married to a wonderful young man. Riding to work, he's killed. Okay, what are you going to do about that now? It's a blessing to watch her posts on Facebook and Dave and Vicki's. But here they were dealt difficult circumstances by life, and they responded in a very godly, wonderful way. Or how about choices of others? Okay? Tony Dungy, wonderful NFL football coach. What happened? His son committed suicide. Then you know what he did? Michael Vick, a very troubled young man, great football player, but he couldn't get his life together. Did, you know, all kinds of bad things. Tony Dungy took him under his wings and ministered to him. Okay? My daughter Dawn came home one night after Awana, and her husband's dead on the floor. Okay, life dealt some difficult circumstances, but he had made some bad choices. And now she's into a blended family. She is way out of her comfort zone. Way out of her comfort zone. But she still, before God, is seeking to make all these good choices. Of course, different people respond differently to these challenges. We can fight it, we can complain about it, we can get bitter. Or, can we have that video now, please? I want you to watch this little girl's face, okay? Wonderful video of a dad and his daughter. This little girl's name is Kenzie. Now we'll skip ahead to about the last 2 minutes, okay? Look at her face. Kenzie's dad, not a very good dancer, but he is a really good, loving father. You see that little girl's face? See her as best she could trying to kiss her dad at the end? He took the risk, and he loved his little girl. Anybody know who Nick Vujicic is? Who is he? He says, oh man, God dealt me a really rough thing, didn't he? Fabulous story. Again, Ecuador loved this guy's story so much, guess what they did? They brought him down to Ecuador as well, okay? How do you respond to your circumstances? You can fight them, or you can take the risk and respond in a way that's pleasing to God. I'm not talking primarily about taking the risk because of our circumstances or the choices of others. What I want to encourage you to do is to make a conscious choice to take the risk of loving somebody else. Okay? to love somebody that is not your neighbor. You know, when I retired from WashU, I retired from working with a man that I love dearly, and he is one of my very, very best friends. I love working with Steve Leary. But what do I do now? I could go golfing and eat chocolate bonbons and watch soap operas there all day long. That sounds wonderful. No. But Joy and Josh were down, and my daughter and her husband were down in Ecuador teaching at the Alliance Academy. Why not? The food is different. They speak Spanish down there, almost as much Spanish as they speak in Miami. The traffic, you know what the white lines in the road are for? Those are for the motorcycles. They ride in the white lines. The culture is different. In fact, we have 31 different cultures in the academy. They have earthquakes, volcanoes, crime. Of course, the only time I've been mugged was here in St. Louis, not in Ecuador. They have pollution. They have disease. I'm having the time of my life. Make choices. We had a young lady who just got married this year, but just a little while ago, Katie, what did she do? She took a risk. She left a good job and went to minister in another country, another culture. The lady who used to play the piano here, she and her husband, where are they? Arizona, working in Emmanuel Mission, okay? Taking a risk to love somebody that's not their neighbors, okay? Many of you know Rich and Kim Rankin. What have they done? They adopted a special needs child, little Nathaniel. Wow. Has that changed their life? That's after bringing in Rich's dad to live with them, okay? Steve Leary and Sherry, many years ago, graduate from veterinarian school, and where'd they go? Took a risk and went out to love somebody that was not their neighbor. Sarah Benson, where's she? She's not in Afghanistan. She's in the green zone of Baghdad, Iraq. What's happening in Iraq right now? ISIS is closing in on Baghdad and things like that. Dangerous place. Has she taken a risk to love somebody who's not her neighbor? You betcha she did. But then, is it really a risk? Let me ask you a question. What do these people have in common? Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. What do they all have in common? Hebrews 11. And they did something by faith. What is faith? It's the assurance of things hoped for. It's not a risk. It's a conviction of things not seen. We don't know the future, but we know who holds the future. It is a means by which we gain approval with God. These are people who saw the promises, even though they didn't receive them in their lifetime, but they welcomed them from a distance as strangers and exiles in this world. They took the risk for a better sacrifice, prepared an ark, they conceived a child, they left their home city, offered up his son, he blessed his sons, he chose to be ill-treated, and she received the spies. It really isn't a risk when it's done by faith. So what I would like to ask you to do here, folks, okay? Brothers and sisters, people that I love deeply. I want you to look at the promises of God and take a step of faith. Not risk. Take a step of faith. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your safety net. Get out of your routines and habits. Sometime soon, for the rest of your life. Love someone other than your neighbor. Maybe it's a new prayer life that you'll actually pray for Barack Obama rather than just talking about him. You pray for him. Maybe it's a new ministry. My daughter down in Charlotte is working with a group of women that have been caught up in trafficking. Terrible issue. Terrible issue. Ecuador is one of the biggest places for trafficked people in the world. Maybe it's adopting a child. In our community down there, many of our students are students that have been adopted by people in that school. Maybe it's just something simple like going visiting a retirement center. Nathan does that, preaches, you know, teaches a Bible study there. Maybe it's helping women who have lost their hair because of treatment for cancer. Maybe it's going to school and being a teacher's aide. Maybe it's going back to school like my daughter Dawn and like some of the ladies here to become a nurse because she wants to do good for people. Get out of your comfort zone, okay? Get out of the same old, same old. Take the risk by faith in Jesus to love somebody that is not just your neighbor. Oh, well, I did that once before. Well, do it again. Well, can I just do it once? No. For the rest of your life. By faith, brothers and sisters, take the risk and love somebody other than your neighbor, whatever that may mean. And I would love to hear about what God has led you into. And there's a wide range here. Take the risk. Love somebody else that's not your neighbor by faith. Let's pray. Father, it is so easy, and I've been there, Lord. I've done it. I'm guilty of it. Of just doing the same old, same old. Following the rut. Keeping up the routine. Staying safe. Father, I pray that we will be willing to let you knock us out of the rut. To take us to places where we can love people in the name of Jesus. Even if they're our enemies. But that we can love them in the name of Jesus. And that we can be your representatives to this world. Every one of us. Whether we're young, whether we're old. Male, female. New in the Lord. Old in the Lord. Healthy, not healthy. Doesn't matter. Father, by faith, we want to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, to take the risk by faith to love other people. And we pray this in Jesus' name.